Thank you. I appreciate you so much.
This
You
is
know, you're
the
right.
reading.
We get lost, yeah.
That's true. This is the Reading Instruction Show. I'm your host, Dr. Andy Johnson. I'm talking with Daphne Russell, and we were saying the voice of the teacher is the voice that gets lost in this conversation about reading instruction. So, Daphne, tell us about yourself and what you know, think about reading instruction.
Well, I know there's so many things people talk about, but I tried them all. That's why I'm here. It's like I tried out every single thing and I was on a path. So what happened was I'm from Tucson, Arizona, but I ended up at Florida State University for my undergrad. And so I didn't know who the Goodmans were or anything about them at all. I just graduated from high school here, went to Florida State because I played softball, and I got this teacher, Gail Bauman, and she said all the kids deserved a reading journey. And I was on a reading journey because I had been. And I was like, that's cool. And I mean, I could tell you that I know I was deciding to try James Baldwin, and my classmates were almost all reading Dini by Judy Blume. I mean, like, they were just here, they were literally approaching it in 1980, six, the college students as, here, it's an assignment, so read it. Even though the teacher was saying, hey, let's go on this exploration, and she was encouraging that and modeling it, and we were doing writers' workshops back and forth. Most of my classmates that I remember were not doing what I was doing, but I didn't really, it's not like I thought much about it. I was just doing what I was doing. So, but the idea that all of my kids deserved a reading journey stuck with me. And I'm like, heck yeah, I'm gonna go home. And I'm going to do that. So I came back to Tucson, Arizona, and I got a job in Tucson Unified School District at a sixth grade school, at an elementary school in sixth grade. And I was like, okay, let's go. Oh my God, I've what? I mean, what seems so simple just months before, now that I had 30 kids, live children in front of me, I'm like, what? How? What? So I, floundered, as you can imagine, right? It's 1989. We don't have the books. They're not on the shelves. And nobody knows much, right? And I mean, that I've been privy to, other than the kids all deserve this reading journey. I'm like, okay, cool. So I come back home, and so then I keep going, and I do that elementary job, and then I go on the reservation in Sells, Arizona. We have a Tana Othum indigenous group, and I end up there for 2 years, and they had tons of money, and they're just doing all this training. I'm doing all this training, and I'm doing what seems amazing. Oh, a lot of Mari Clay, right? She's big. We're doing all of that, and I'm having the kids write, and they're exploring themselves, and they have confidence. And the principal is like, "You're doing it wrong," because the person across the hallway, their kids were all writing these perfect sentences. I'm like, "But the kids copied the sentence. That's nothing." But I, she didn't, she liked their pretty sentences on the wall and didn't like what my kids were evolving to become. So anyway, I did that for a couple of years. So I had a lot of training, and then I also got a lot of money through different various opportunities that I end up getting my master's degree. So I went to the University of Arizona, and I did not have the Goodmans, but I mean, their blood and DNA seeps through all the cracks, but I didn't actually have them or even meet them at the time. And I got a degree in language, reading, and culture. So I read Savage Inequalities and, really just, oh, and James Banks' Multicultural Education, and just my understanding just grew. Yet I'm in these classrooms and they're doing this and that. And then we get Success for All. Well, Success for All is, it's interesting because what does, I mean, you're a kindergarten, first, second grade teacher, you kind of have, there's some really cool, obvious things to do. But when you're in fifth grade, teaching fifth grade, and the kids are not doing what, blah, blah, X, Y, and Z, you're like, now, well, I don't understand. And so, but I was there, experienced that, and also experienced, like, I don't know why that kid moved up a level, but I do know that whoever wrote this didn't mean for a fifth grader to be in the same classroom as a second grader. So whatever's going on, you're doing it wrong. So that's not even a fair gauge of a Success for All would do anything. So I don't know. Then I went to another school and did more of that. And then I went into middle school and did some social studies, just because it was interesting, and then because of my degree, went back to language arts in middle school, and then back to my dilemma: how do I get everyone to become a reader? So I try the Goodman method of let's put them in a room with a bunch of books and give them access, and it's going to work magic. It's 2003, six, nine. You know, there's no magic. Like, you have to do something else. So, how do you get the book to get inside of the child enough to get that little light on so they go, wait? And then that happens. I mean, that could
Brief
happen.
disclaimer, though, that's not the method they.
No, I'm just the one that gets distilled out into the universe, you
I only
know.
say that because these straw man arguments, they'll say, oh, she
Oh,
said.
I know.
So.
No, I straw the straw man, they're everywhere. I mean, like, I'm just gonna say what I'm gonna say in my experience because the straw man's coming for me anyway. But I'm just saying that, like, I had to figure out how to get a kid in Tucson, Arizona, who comes from the whatever kind of home you all everybody wants to describe. How can I get them to become a reader? I didn't care. I mean, I understand all the things, but I'm like, I still want to make them a reader. How do I get them to be a reader? What do I do to provide the opportunity that they can become a reader? What is going on? But also, I had some dark times where I was like trying to get choice independent reading going. And then, man, it was like halfway through the year, and I asked this kid a casual question, and they couldn't answer me. I'm like, and I happen to have read the book, and I'm like, wait a second. So I knew not to give everyone the same book, but now here I am trying to give them all their individual journeys, right? And this kid can't answer the question, and I'm like, wait a second. Are all of you guys lying to me? Like, I've been diligently trying to help them have reading journeys with no shame, with complete independence, complete autonomy, and try to tap into the agency. And they were lying. Not lying. Some of them were flat out lying, but some were reading, and I didn't know what that meant because it wasn't what I meant, and I didn't know what they meant and what I meant weren't the same definition. So around here, I read The Book Thief. Have you read The Book Thief?
Yes.
So, you know when they all die, right? I had been writing for a long time by that point. And here I am trying to teach us reading, not being very successful. And here's this guy, Marcus Husak, who writes a 585-page book, which is just extraordinary act of human resilience. And I think that he wrote it just to tell me books save lives. And I just start crying when they all die because I went back in the book and I was like, this is when he said books save lives. This is when he said books save lives. This is when he said over and over again, like, Max lives because he's carrying Mein Kampf on the train. It saved his life. Like, you keep going back. And I'm like, this man spent years to tell people books save lives. And here I am with the opportunity to prove that books save lives because I know they saved me from a life of ignorance. And I'm going to do whatever it takes and I'm going to figure this out. So I literally dedicated my entire existence to figuring out how to universally provide the greatest opportunity for the largest number of students to become readers and look inside, period, inside. So over the course of the next 20 or whatever years that took, I wrote about, like, a kid in class because things started happening and I wasn't really sure what was going on because they would start reading and I'm like, okay, cool. And then they would start changing and I'm like, whoa, okay, cool. That's really cool. And, you know, a kid that had straight F's is now like, I'm like, yeah. So they read a book and, you know, I don't say, what is the title of the book and what is the protagonist, blah, blah, blah. Eventually I was like, well, I don't know. What happened? What'd you, I don't, what? And they're like, well, I'm talking to my mom a lot more. I'm like, wait, what? Wait, okay, continue. And they're like, yeah, I decided I want to bring my grades up. I'm like, what? Okay, continue. And this is what was happening. And all the straw men can come together and they can band with their little torches and say, well, did you have a kid that had, and did you have an experience that had? Yep. You name it. They were in my class with 33 other kids. And it was hardcore, sixth, seventh, and eighth graders, all day long, five classes, me alone, no one around, on my own. So like every experience you could possibly have, I had them. And over and over and over and over and over again, it was working and I didn't know what I was doing. So one day somebody walks in who teaches kids who, you could have picked her kids up, picked my kids up, switched them around, and everybody would have said it's the same kids. Like, and so many varying, the posture of like, or whatever. Let me just pick a thing. And so somebody brought her to choose a new teacher, and someone brought her in to observe my class. And I'm like, sure. And she walks in, she's out of all these years, nobody's walking to my class and looking, nobody cares. They just keep going off with their lives. My kids are now the lowest readers in the school, and they're changing their lives and becoming, and nobody's paying attention because they're just like, they're all doing their own thing. And the principal's coming in with his little checklist, and he can't see what I'm doing. So he just wants to see the check where he can put the check, right? So anyway, this teacher comes in, new teacher comes in with the mentor, and she goes, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "That's a really good question." Let me try to explain that. So then I tried to explain it and I could not explain it. I couldn't explain it because I didn't know what they were doing, so I couldn't explain what I was doing. I was just offering these opportunities. And if the books weren't being read, then I got rid of it and got some other ones. And I just kept going in and out with all these books, and my bookshelf would change. Then I started noticing what was really cool is I'd get whatever they wanted. And then at the very beginning of the school year, the little teeny skinny books would be gone and the big books would be left. I mean, we really can only describe it that way. Then, as the time went on, you saw the skinny books came back and then the other books were leaving. So, everyone's doing this reading journey. Everyone's doing this. And all I kept doing is I started with the, I'm sorry that I can't remember which person is attributed to the text to life, text to self, text to world. But I started with that and then it just became, think about you. Just think about you, question your thoughts, question the author, question everything, and just read, question, read, question, read a sentence, question. Don't skip a sentence. Don't skip a word. If you don't know the word, I'll tell you the word. We'll do whatever it takes. You just keep going. You keep filling your system with all of the you can. And I was always like, one more, like, oh, there's a week left of school. Well, you could probably squeeze this one in. And I would give all the books away. And I didn't care if they came back and there was no shame. And I would say, a new kid, I'm like, well, go ask Jesus, he can tell you. And then Jesus was like, dude, it's lit. And then the kid was like, look around the room. He's like, 30 kids are reading. He's never seen it in his life. So he's like, fine. And then he would sit down and read. I mean, so these were all non-readers, hate reading, didn't test well. The whole works. Every single kid you could possibly imagine, I had them. I didn't have we call them the gifted class. I didn't have any gifted kids, quote unquote gifted kids. So I had all of the other kids, the ones who are disillusioned by school. That was my whole group for years, forever. And then, so then eventually in 2018, I retired from teaching in that classroom at that school district. And I started my nonprofit called Books Save Lives, and I still didn't know how to convey what I was saying. And then my stepson came over and he went over the directions for Verizon Wireless customer service. And he's like, why don't they just follow the directions? Meaning the people under him. And he said, the Verizon Wireless customer service. And I'm like, say that again? And then I wrote it down and I spent 3 months with that process. And I'm like, why are teachers never taught customer service? I'm like, it's obvious I was I'm sorry, I want to say that people would say, it's just you, Daphne. You can just figure it out. You're just good with kids. I'm like, then it's useless. If what I do is so spectacular, I should be able to convey it and teach it and give it to other people. Because if it's just me walking around with it, so I get to help 90 kids a year. Like, okay, but that's not why I'm here, So I was determined that it wasn't me. It's not me. I just was given the opportunity to learn by so many kids asking me questions, pointing things out, making me ask questions that found the truth of what was happening to them. So I write down my method. I call it visceral because I had heard Junot Diaz talking about books are the only way you can viscerally experience something without actually experiencing it. I'm like, visceral. Yeah, I teach viscerally. So I called it the visceral method. And then I took the customer service approach and applied the visceral word as acronym. And I came up with my steps. And they're, I've expanded them and explored them, and they're a little wider, but it's what the document that I gave you is essentially the latest iteration of visceral with more of my understanding. So what happens is, and this is what I've been practicing. I was doing my nonprofit, but I couldn't really get out there because, of course, I'm saying the kids already can read past second grade. They have all of the information in their beautiful brains, and I know it, and I can prove it all day, every day. But so many people just want to go, well, they still, I'm not saying what they need. I'm saying if the kid is after second grade, they have all the information. That is my experience. None of them don't have it. They just can't access it because of shame. Period. The shame got put in there with whatever, at whatever time. And it, just like anything else, made them stop reaching for it, which slowed their progress that we measure as progress, but that doesn't mean their brain wasn't still processing. It's still in there. So basically, I provide the opportunity to say, hey, so, oh, let me say also what I realized is that I have a mentor anyway about, it's a long story, but we were talking about definitions of words, and I realized if I ask people to finish the sentence, books are, everyone has a different sentence. I'm like, well, that means reading is has also a different sentence, which means math is also has a different sentence, a different connection. And so, and all of our definitions are built on an emotion tied to an experience at a location. So if I attach shame to literacy, then it's always going to be covered in shame. Doesn't mean that the literacy is not there, doesn't mean I can't access it. But why would I, when I was shamed or humiliated, or just pick a thing? And depending on the child, depends on how deep that deficit, that pain is. So all I do is say, hey, so tell me, books are what? I mean, I had a kid cry, immediately just start crying because of the pain he was in over his definition of books. But I've had every single possible answer. And then I listened to the story and I listened for the trauma that happened, whatever that event was. And then when I feel like I got to the part where they're like, and this is what hurt me, I say, I am so sorry. That must have been awful. And as soon as I say that, they're like, oh. I'm like, yeah, that was tough, man. I mean, there was COVID, and then your mom was stressed out, and the teacher's stressed out, and you're getting yelled at on the screen. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the teacher, how stressed out the teacher was? Like, that was awful for everyone, or something like that, right? And then the kid's like, oh, thanks, or no big deal, or whatever. But you just shifted their definition. So this thing, this stronghold on their book's definition of negativity has now just lessened. They shared it with me. I acknowledged it. I saw them. I heard them. And I said, I'm sorry. And then they're like, oh. And then after that is like that first acknowledgement, you're just like, do you want to try something different? I mean, if you try it, you're going to help me because I'm trying to learn this idea and see the more kids I have that participate, the more I learn from you. And then I'm going to tell those people. So you're going to affect, I don't know, 100 kids or 200 kids. And I've done it in front of adults. And so I tell the kid, look at all these teachers. I'm like, how many kids are at this school? And they're like, 300. I'm like, dude, you're going to help 300 kids. And they're like, oh, okay, I'm in, or they just know I'm helping them and then they're in. But if I can add the huge component to say, you're helping me help them, because then he knows he's not alone, and that this pain he's experiencing and this effort he's putting forth is not just for him, it's for others. And I'm just going to say half, about half the kids in the world or us need that, and the other half-ish we'll do it for ourselves. I mean, it's still for ourselves, but So once you get him to go, okay, I'll try. You have to ask, these are all questions. He can say, no, I'm out. You're like, okay, cool. So first of all, I have some good news. And they're like, what? I'm like, you actually have a supercomputer. Everyone in the room, everyone everywhere has a supercomputer. So actually, you actually have all the information inside. It was just muddied by this experience, but it's actually in there. So I'm going to help you find out what you know. And that's kind of the beginning. I mean, and then there's just a few more steps after that, but you're providing the opportunity for that. So I've had a lot of experiences with now with adults. I actually have them, this adult, go back to that child that was harmed and ask if they would like to leave that situation, and they pick them up and carry them out. And that is really beneficial because then they're like, oh, it's not a permanent condition, right? So what I've discovered in doing this is that once you get a child to start reading, engaging in a book where they're thinking about themselves and every thought they have and questioning themselves, making those connections and those deep thoughts, they start to go, first they, as soon as they, you go, so you practice, let me just go back, you practice, you take the first, they pick a book from your stack. Long story in the stack. We won't get into the stack, but it needs to be curated on kids who read books, not because of it was cheap or whatever. Anyway, so once it's curated, the child picks a stack, a book that's within their perceived vocabulary that they believe they have access to the majority of those words. So let's assume that just went well. It doesn't always go well, as you can imagine, because there's a lot of ego involved. They don't want to seem dumb, so they might pick a big book and they might pick a small book because they don't think they can. There's so many different things, but let's just assume because the vast majority pick the right book, and you've made a great stack, so it's accessible. Let's take Jason Reynolds' Long Way Down. It's awesome. There's very few words per page. It's not daunting. The vocabulary is real. It's not, simplistic. It's a real book, and it's accessible. So the kid says, well, I think this one. And you're like, okay. So then you read the first sentence, first phrase out loud, and then you make a connection to that in your world, and then you ask them to do the same. Then you read the next and ask them to do the same. And then you're like, does that make sense? And the kid's like, okay, so just think about me. Yeah. Think about you. There's nothing else to do. And then you hand them the book, and then they do not read out loud. I mean, unless they're just dying to, just say, this is for you. This is in your head on your own. You do it yourself. And then they go, okay. And you're like, just read. And then when you have a thought, tell me what the thought is. And then you see, of course, there's many different ways this happens, but let's say generally it goes, oh. And they make a face, but they don't know it's a thought. But you see the face. And you're like, hey, wait, what was that? Oh, well, he. And that made me, yeah. And you're like, that's it. And they're like, what? I'm like, that's reading. And they're like, that's reading? Yeah. You take those words, you make sense of them, and you decipher what they mean to you. And then you continue. And then eventually it all, then they start making predictions and they start coming, it all comes together, and then they make connections to other books they've read and other things, and all that happens, but without this missing piece where you just hand it to them so they can do all the work, then everything is taught on the outside. So you when you ask a kid books are, and they say information, views outward, you're like, if they don't say inward, then they're missing the key component, which is what school accidentally does, is they make the majority of it out here so the kid doesn't go here. But if the kid's allowed to go here, wrestle with this, find who they are and actually what they can and cannot do, then they can move forward. So what I found was the kid to start reading. And they're like, wait, that's reading? And I'm like, yeah. And then they keep going and they're like, are you kidding? I'm like, what? They're like, nobody told me this. I'm like, I know. I'm sorry. It's not a super plan. There's nobody out there trying to harm children. Everyone is literally trying to do the very best they can. and they just don't know this one little thing. And so now you have the one little thing. And they're like, holy crap. So what I was seeing for a long time, which I didn't understand, was that they'd get to the end of the book and they're like changed. I'm like, what? And the why are you? I don't get it. I have get very common. A kid does this, and then the mom's like, they just clean their room, and I don't know why. I'm like, I don't either. But what it does is, once you do this very simple, obviously it's very simple what I just told you. It's for everyone. I'm sharing it with everyone. This is not like, I mean, every single person should know this is a possibility. What it does is it changes their beliefs. So now they're like, wait, I don't have to hold on to the belief that I can't because I just did. Like, right. So they're like, wait, I can read? Yes. And then they're like, well, if I can read, then what else have I been lied to about? And it happens to them every single time. And then they're like, wait, 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 wait. And with a lack of a better term, it's like it breaks. I this is the best I can do because honestly, it's so rare to have someone genuinely, what you're doing right now, just listening to me and taking notes, never happened. I mean, I met somebody who met me for 10 minutes as a teacher, and she goes, how do I get a PhD in that? And so she's actually about to graduate with her PhD. But having all the knowledge you have and hearing what I'm saying, that has never happened because people are like, they think I'm the devil. And I'm like, I'm not the devil. I know what you're saying. I'm telling you something that I got lucky. I had like one of the greatest dads who was one of the greatest teachers ever. And then everything turned out to have me have this information. But once that, so to lack a lack of a better term, is it like I call it their unconscious and their conscious are not speaking, and there's a veil between. So I help the child lift the veil between the two so they can start communicating. So all of the things that they truly know are inside their head, and they move forward to their conscious where they're like, oh, wait, now I understand. I mean, I had a kid the other day at my house I was working with, and he said all these things. I wrote down the words he was saying. I'm like, do you know any of these words? He's like, I'm like, stop sounding it out, stop. And he was reverting back to his kindergarten self, even though he's a 12-year-old in my living room. And I'm like, dude, 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 no. This is not about sounding out. You already know all these words. You said them. And he's like, what? Like, he didn't know the words in the book were the same words he's speaking, which is the same words he's communicating with, are the same. He looked at it like it was all a completely separate thing. And then he had written the words, he had said the word Skittle. I'm like, dude, Skittle. And when his brain went, wait, the Skittle inside that I thought that I couldn't read is the Skittle on your piece of paper, and it's all the same Skittle that's a Skittle on the package. And his smile was like, what? And it was so big. And I'm like, that's what you tap into that. And you're like, that's Skittle. That's sword. That's. And then his little brain's like, whoa. Now, did he backslide? Of course, because he went back to his house where not everyone knows what I'm saying, but they're coming back. And then I'll see him again on Saturday and see what has happened. But I'm just like, my first goal is just to match the child's working vocabulary into their visual vocabulary. And then they're like, wait, they know who they are. But honestly, what it does is it wakes them up. Like it makes them perceive themselves, and it's, like high definition meditation, or, and so what I realize is that all these teachers are teaching all this different way with different definitions, and I have one definition. It's introspective. It's this way, and that's it. And once they start reading introspectively, that's when everything changes. There's a click. So I had a kid. I taught high school this last 4 months. And I walked in, I said, hey, reading trauma is a thing. And they're like, what? And so it was, there's a lot of varieties of what happened. But this one kid that was the most, she had been there at the high school the whole entire time. She had other classmates that had succeeded, and she was always behind. She's like, I don't know. Daphne talks a little different. I think I'll listen to her. maybe, I don't know, I'm curious. And I'm like, and she had a boyfriend. I'm like, do you guys want me to help you or do you want to do it on your own? And they're like, no, why don't you help us? So I gave her Poet X and I gave him Jason Reynolds' newest book. And I'm like, just try. If they don't speak to you, then don't worry about it. But all you're doing is thinking about you. And then they both were like, okay. And the girl particularly, well, the boy had no plans at all, by the way, just world, no plans for his future. Just want to say that out loud. She wanted to be a realtor. That didn't change. But she said when she was reading Poet X, she can identify the exact moment. This is what I mean about the communication. If you lift the veil, it all happens. It goes click and everything's like connected. She was reading and she got to this point. She went, oh my God, I know what she's saying. I know what's happening. I know what it's about. I know, oh my God, I know all these things. She said she immediately took her parents and sat them down and told them what happened. It was that crystal clear, which I'd been telling people. But when you have a 13-year-old, it's a different kid than an 18-year-old. So an 18-year-old that goes, I know the moment. I mean, I would see the moment in a kid's face because you can see it. They go, they sit up, they change, their face changes, it lightens when they realize they know more than they thought. They're like, wait, is that possible? And then they start changing, but she knew the exact moment. So I'm just trying to convey this with everyone as much as humanly possible. The steps of videos, I have everything that I can to try to just give it away because it's systematic, it's very easy, it honors a child, it's the most social justice thing that you could possibly humanly do. And if we could share it with the largest number of people, it's generative. Because when you have a teen that reads this way, in this way, then the teen next to him is like, well, what do you have that? Because that they're like, well, that's what does that kid have? He has confidence, and that kid wants his confidence. And the only way to get it is by reading the book that he has. So he takes the book back, he takes it from him, or the kid offers it to him, or the uncle, or how many kids shared it with their parents? And it's just that. The group of people that I'm talking the most to are the ones with shame. So if you don't have any shame, then this isn't, you don't need this. But I'm thinking about half the people have shame. Just half.
Just
And so if just half, and if they let go of the shame, they realize the shame does not their identity and it's not real and their beliefs about who they are can be evolved, then they're on board. And I don't have to do it. I just have to get far enough out that my voice can carry. Like the yop from, you remember the yop from Horton Hears a Who?
yes.
Yeah, the yop. I just want a yop. And then I'm like, as soon as that last yop, that yop goes out, then I'm all a yop.
We need to do another session where you talk specifically about the method.
Okay, I can go through every step and everything. Yes.
That would be excellent. That would be excellent. A couple of things. You talked about you wanted them, your students, to go on the reading journey. I thought about the teaching journey. What she's saying about her readers could be said about teachers.
Right.
The thing you said about they're lying to you. Teachers are being lied to.
Oh, how? Yes, I have a whole video on that. They are being lied to, and we are the ones betraying the kids. It's
Yes.
heartbreaking. Yeah.
And you said something else. Oh, you said a lot of stuff, you know.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you. Thanks for letting me talk.
The stress that teachers carry, that's passed on to our kids.
Exactly. When the kid and I try to teach teachers that, like, if your kid is skinny, your own child, how do you deal with that? They're like, well, I'm stressed out. I'm like, right. So then you create food becomes a weapon that you're trying to shove onto your child. Well, we do the same thing in the classroom. When our grades, our test scores and all this stuff is pounding upon us and the child's little psyche in the world and our impact, it's stressful. Add a few more kids, throw in a bad principal. It's the hardest job in the whole world.
And you talked about being and becoming readers. I've talked about being and becoming teachers,
Yeah.
being and becoming human beings, meaning that we are complete, but we're constantly evolving.
constantly.
I'm struck by these parallels that I saw. That was so.
Yeah, it's all, yeah. So I'm allowing what you've been doing with teachers, I've been doing with readers, and it's just it's the same. It's helping another person become.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
And we become, and we're models for becoming, and so we're always curious and we're never certain. And then we pass that on to them, and you pass it on to a kid, and they're like, oh, and now they're curious. And I'm like, wait, I want to hang out with you curious people because you're fun.
The arrogance of certainty.
Oh, it's arrogance. It's actually the kill. It's the kill switch.
And we do to teachers what we do to students. Here's the algorithm. You follow it, and you will get to a predetermined conclusion.
And there's like a zero chance of that.
Yes.
I put in my video just recently. I just made one about testing, and I went through the whole testing thing, like what we're told. And I literally at the end of it, I go, we're told if we have 100 books in our house, if we blah 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 blah, then we will pass the test. And I've just proven to you that we cannot. That's not true. That is an untrue statement. If we have every single thing available to us, that still doesn't prove anything. It makes it possible. Maybe. It's a skill set.
I like the blah 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 part.
Yeah, because it really is like that.
That spoke to me.
They tell you so many things. I'm like, that's a lie. Yeah, one of the videos I make, because I'm just sitting in my house trying to give away what I'm saying, but you're the first curious person because most people say they talk a lot of talk about curiosity, and they're like, well, it's this way. I'm like, oh, that's you
I'm
missed the
curious
carrot.
about what I'm curious about.
Yeah, you moved me by your when I read that you really sounded genuinely curious. I was like, oh, he actually might be. And you are, which I really appreciate.
I wrote about Horton Hears a Who recently to describe qualitative research as the voice of teachers and students appearing on the page, and they're saying, "We are here, we are here." And then the Education Science Reform Act of 2002 squashed them, and they said, "Only controlled experimental research around here. Thank you."
Which is why I'm doing it my way. This the way that I'm trying to do this is I'm just circumventing. You happen to be an academic that is talking to me, but I'm just going to keep giving it to the people.
Yes.
I'm going to give it to as many people as I can. I even wrote a screenplay, not to have a teacher movie, but to have this point made. Like, so I mean, in fact, the teacher is, I mean, I actually teach well, which means I teach very little. Teach, right? It's like a giant movie of facilitation instead of teaching. But I want to convey, like, it's not what you guys think it is. It's you're just sitting there, they're becoming, you're providing all the tools for them to become. If they run out of tools, you provide more tools, and you're just really a tool distributor, you know? But you're not doing what you have to become yourself. That's your biggest job.
Okay, I'm going to stop here only because there's so much deep stuff. I don't
Yes.
want it to get lost. I
No,
want
I realize. Oh my gosh, this was so, I appreciate you so much.
to have another conversation because there is so much here and I don't want it to get lost.
I will have as many as you want with you at any time.
Okay.